There's no doubt that depending on where you live, your ability to get a test and the amount of time it takes to get those results back vary wildly. And we've heard for months now that we can test and trace our way out of this pandemic. But both parts of that equation have proven to be incredibly challenging for the U.S. health infrastructure to manage. And right now, we want to focus on testing. There are reports that some COVID-19 test results have been delayed by a week or more. And local health officials say it's hampering their ability to respond to the virus. We have with us now Matthew Herper here to talk about why these test results are taking so long. He's a senior writer at Stat News. And Matt, demand for the tests are going up. Wait times are going up. Do you have any idea exactly how long people are waiting across the country?
We don't really have great stats on how long people are waiting generally. But we do know that there are a lot of anecdotal reports of people waiting more than a week for test results when they just walked into a doctor's office and ordered a test. And that Quest, one of the big providers of diagnostic tests, has said that their average wait times are more than a week. It should be noted that if you're at a hospital, you're probably getting your test result back very fast. You may get it back in a day. You may get it back in a matter of hours. There are platforms that can give you a very rapid return. But we are seeing big delays in how long it takes people to get tests.
Yeah, again, it's anecdotal, but we actually have a producer on Here and Now who has waited for 2 weeks for test results and still haven't gotten them back yet. Where's the bottleneck? Why do some of these tests come back really quickly? You mentioned hospitals have access to return those results more quickly, but why are others taking so long?
Well, the thing that you have to understand here is it's not actually the test. It's not the machine that runs the test that takes so long. Mm-hmm. It's that swab has to go from your urgent care to Quest, and it has to get from one place to another, and then it sits waiting while we wait for the machine to have capacity to run that test. Mm-hmm. So that's simply why there's a delay. What's the bottleneck? There are probably a lot of bottlenecks, but one mm-hmm. of the big ones is going to be machine capacity. Now, manufacturers have said that they have capacity to do millions of tests. U.S. is currently doing 700,000 to 800,000 tests a day. But a lot of the problem is making sure that you can get the sample to the right machine at the right time and get it back to people. And it's a logistical problem. And the system isn't doing very well with it for people who are, you know, not hospitalized.
How much does this also have to do with the failure of electronic health records? This has been a longstanding issue in healthcare.
Well, I have heard that it's a problem, not just electronic health records, but insurance networks, and that when it's not just a matter of doing a test and getting that result back to an office, but who's hooked into your EHR, who is the preferred test provider for your hospital or urgent care, as the case may be. And there have been suggestions, particularly the Rockefeller Foundation has made a lot of suggestions on testing. And one of the early ones was that there are a lot of labs that are not hooked into the systems of some healthcare providers, and that fixing that might unlock a lot of test capacity.
Back at the beginning of this pandemic, as we know, I mean, we were really struggling with testing in part because there just weren't enough tests. And manufacturers were just gearing up to make some different kinds of tests. Is that still a problem anymore in any parts of the country?
We clearly don't have enough tests running to deal with the surge in cases. And that's a real problem because there could be an even bigger surge of cases coming. And being able to test people and tell them to self-isolate is one way to control the spread of coronavirus, particularly if you can test people who are asymptomatic and get them results quickly. A lot of new tests have come on board. A lot of the manufacturers have introduced new technologies and different machines that all use the same basic process called polymerase chain reaction, or PCR, for viral testing. But there are new tests called antigen tests, which may miss more cases, but they also could be very cheap. And you could use them to give to people who are asymptomatic and test people a lot so that you'll catch more cases and reduce spread. And that idea is out there. Those tests aren't being made widely available. Again, the Rockefeller Foundation has suggested that the government should be looking to buy millions of those tests and distribute them to people as a way of trying to slow the spread of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. New technology can definitely play a role here, but there's also an organizational component, which seems to be a big part of where we're falling down as a country.
Right, exactly. I mean, in other countries seem to have this down. I mean, can you paint a picture of what a well-developed national testing system would look like?
Well, Germany did very, very well, right? I mean, certainly Iceland and New Zealand, which also have the advantage of being islands, did very well. And in some places, they were testing everybody who entered into a building. PCR, the technology used for most of these tests, was invented here. A lot of these rapid tests are made by manufacturers here. But what a lot of countries did very early was put a lot of resources into making sure that the testing was there. And then that there were procedures for isolating people, including giving people hotel rooms if they test positive so that they have somewhere to stay that's not with family, which is where a lot of the transmission seems to happen. I think that one of the big things to think about here is it's not about, you hear the argument a lot that, well, the U.S. is doing more testing than all these other countries, and it's true. And the problem isn't just how much testing do you have, it's how do you get the testing to stay in front of the virus. And the problem is we've been playing catch up for the whole time.
This has to be frustrating for public health experts. You've heard from them. What are they talking about the consequences, really, of these delayed test results?
Well, there's really a Groundhog Day element for a lot of them because they do keep, you hear all these other ideas and they keep saying, yes, but testing. Now, the NIH is doing a lot of work to help particularly small companies that are developing some of these tests to move faster. But there's kind of a general sense of people being frustrated because it's not exactly clear. It's not like there's one single thing that you can do that fixes the problem. It's just clear when you hear that people are waiting 7 to 10 days or 2 weeks for a test. That's not a test that's very useful to that person or to public health. At 2 weeks, that person's time when they should have been self-quarantined is over. Right? Like, that's how long you're supposed to self-isolate if you test positive.
I'm also thinking about public perception because, I mean, if these tests take too long to come back, if you know this about the community in which you live, that the place that you'd go to get the test takes forever, there could be fear that people will stop going to get tested.
Well, absolutely. And beyond that, the point of having everyone get tested is to get the results back and have them self-isolate. And we did see here in New York, when things got bad, we saw, you know, people were told, well, if you have symptoms, stay home, right? You stop testing people.
Right. That had been the message.
Really, yeah. And, you know, that means that you've given up on having this tool to control spread. And it is a pretty powerful tool. I mean, if you could test everyone regularly, that would take the place of contact tracing. You'd need a lot of tests to do that, but having large volumes of tests that return results in a reasonable amount of time is a very powerful tool for controlling a virus. But you need a lot of testing to do that, and if it's taking 7 days, it kind of doesn't count for that purpose.
Right. Do you see any indication that we will make our way out of this in a way that allows people to get tests fast and to get a handle on the pandemic?
There are a lot of things going on that could help, particularly what I mentioned about the work the NIH is doing and the work that companies are doing, that if we get a lot of cheap, rapid tests that are accessible, people just using those themselves, even if the government isn't buying them for them, could have a big impact. There's been some news headlines about Republicans in Congress trying to get more funding for testing, and there being some difficulties with the Trump administration around that. The Rockefeller Foundation says that we probably need to invest $75 billion in order to get testing up to where it needs to be. And that's also a bargain, considering the huge impact that this virus has on the economy when it's allowed to get out of control. So there are a lot of things that could be done, and there's a lot of technologic progress being made, which could, as often happens in American healthcare, we could have amazing innovations which save us, and that's all on the table. But it's surprising to be talking about long wait times for tests when that was something we were going to fix back in April.
Matthew Herper is a senior writer at Stat News, talking with us about the delays in COVID-19 test results throughout the country. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
And a question for you out there. Have you all been waiting a week or more for your COVID-19 test results? Tell us at hereandnow.org.